Our gospel reading for this morning is a very challenging reading, but I also think it's a perfect gospel reading for the occasion. This is the ideal gospel reading for when a rector returns from a sabbatical. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. We on the staff have done our very best to keep things rolling along while Father Milton has been away for this important time of rest and renewal. And it's also very nice to have Milton back. Of course, there's another part to that verse. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have those slaves sit down to eat, and he himself will come and serve them. So, Milton, we're all looking forward to that. But this whole gospel is all about being ready, all about being prepared. But it's a different kind of preparedness. It's a kind of gospel preparedness, and we need to be hearing this properly. This is a different kind of prepared in a lot of ways from your usual Boy Scout, bring an umbrella because it might rain and always wear clean underwear just in case you get hit by a bus kind of prepared. This isn't about something that might happen someday and we're trying to guess. This is all about something that we know is happening right now. God's kingdom is coming. I prefer to say God's kingdom is becoming right now in our midst, all around us. It's begun. It's begun. It's begun in the resurrection of Jesus. And it's in the process of continuing and growing into its fullness. It's in the process of becoming in us, in the church, and in the way we are in the world around us. The church is the kingdom in seed form. And the kingdom isn't something that might happen one day. The kingdom is something that is happening right now. And being prepared isn't really about guessing. It's not really about speculating about the future. This kind of prepared is different. Being prepared, being kingdom prepared, that means becoming now the kinds of people God needs for His kingdom. The kinds of people God wants to live in His kingdom. The kinds of people that can help that kingdom be established. And this involves a whole lot more than just sitting around waiting for things to happen. This is active. Jesus tells us in these stories of the coming kingdom, in all those parables, and in the story that He gives us today, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms, we got work to do to be prepared. And He's right, and here's why. I pray a lot about the kingdom of God. I sing a lot of hymns about the kingdom of God. I think a lot about the kingdom of God. Maybe it's an occupational hazard, but maybe you do the same. But if I'm really being honest with myself, I'm a whole lot more comfortable with the idea of the kingdom of Philip than the kingdom of God. If you're new, my name's Philip. I, like all the rest of us, fallen, crazy, mixed up people, if I'm looking honestly into my own heart, I see often that I'm basically selfish and anxious. There's a little four-year-old who lives inside of me, and every once in a while, that little guy pops out to insist very loudly that I really am the center of the universe. That makes me selfish. We judge things by their effect on us. At the same time, I see myself in the middle of a confusing and hyper-competitive world where sometimes I feel utterly on my own and in competition with everybody else. And that makes me anxious. And those things form up a little toxic brew inside my soul, and I spend a whole lot of time and energy and attention building and tending to the kingdom of Philip to keep me safe. I build a castle with real thick walls to protect myself, and I fill it with stuff that I think I need and deserve, because sometimes I convince myself that that'll help me feel less anxious. The gospel reminds us that didn't work. And the gospel gently tells us that to be ready for the kingdom of God, I've got to be loosening my grip. To be ready for the kingdom of God, I've got to be loosening my white-knuckle death grip on the kingdom of Philip. I've got to redirect some of my energy and attention away from that if I'm going to be ready for the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus is doing in these stories, these challenging stories about the kingdom. He's pushing us. Can you feel Jesus' hand at the small of your back pushing you? Pushing us gradually to let go of the kingdom of me so that we can be ready for the kingdom of God. What do we do to really be ready? Well, Jesus has a surprising answer. The first thing we need to do to be really ready for the kingdom of God is to have a yard sale. Give away your stuff. Give the money to the poor. Now, folks, this has been challenging to every single generation of Christians that there's ever been. And really, Jesus is exaggerating to make a point. The point is very clear, though. We have to rethink. We have to rethink our relationship to our stuff, to all those things that I've accumulated in the castle of me. And Jesus issues another challenge that we have to think about as well. He challenges us to start accumulating a different kind of treasure, a kind of treasure that's the currency of the kingdom of God. This really has been challenging for every generation, but maybe this will help. Think about your own stuff. Think about your possessions. Think about what you really, really treasure. You'll probably notice that what we think about, what we really treasure, aren't things themselves, but what those things mean. In my living room at home, I've got this funny-looking old glass lamp. It's really, really ugly, and I kept it around for a while because I thought it might be worth a whole lot of money, and it isn't. But now I can't throw it out because that lamp came from my grandfather's china shop, and to me, it means my grandfather. To me, when I turn that lamp on and sparks come out of the old plug because it's not grounded properly, to me, that lamp means granddad. And I pictured a courtly old gentleman in a vest and a tie, sitting in a rocking chair on his front porch, eating cherries and spitting the pits all the way across the front lawn into the street, which was about 50 feet away. That's what I cherish. I cherish that meaning. An old hockey jersey means every team I ever played for. An old letter means love shared with someone who's now far away. And when I look at things that way, I realize that Jesus' admonition to hold on to our stuff a little bit more loosely, maybe it's more possible than it sounded at first. When I look at things that way, I realize there's actually a whole bunch of stuff that I have, some of it really pricey, some of it that I worked hard for, that really doesn't have much meaning at all. I thought it would when I bought it. Turned out not to. There's a whole lot of stuff that perhaps I could loosen my grip on. A whole lot of stuff that maybe doesn't really deserve all the attention I give it. You see what Jesus is doing? He's asking us to refocus, to reevaluate just how much time and attention we place on what things. He's asking us to keep the main thing the main thing. He asks us to store up treasures of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, if treasures are all about meaning, then I think we have to ask, what is it that we can carry with us that will mean the kingdom of heaven? What is there that we can embrace to our hearts that will evoke the kingdom of God the way that ugly old lamp evokes my grandfather or that letter evokes someone I love? What are the treasures Jesus is asking us to store up for ourselves? You know what? When I think of it that way, I think most of those kingdom treasures turn out not to be things at all, but moments. They can be moments of forgiveness. When we finally let go of a whole burden of resentment or shame that's built up over the years and move into an entirely new relationship with someone who's hurt us or someone whom we have hurt. Those kingdom treasures, those things that point us away from the kingdom of myself and towards the kingdom of God, those can be moments, but we have to be paying attention or they might slip by without us seeing them. They can be moments of surrender and peace. I can remember just that kind of moment from my own life. One of those moments came to me right in the middle of a really kind of messy, painful part of my life. And I was out doing something that I do in response to those times. I was out for a really, really long run. And as I was running, and totally unexpectedly, a thought came into my mind. I realized everything was going to be okay. It was going to be all right. I had lots and lots of hard work to do, and maybe some tears to shed. And my life was still a mess. But I could trust God. And I could surrender myself to the Holy Spirit. And things would be all right. And I count that moment as a kingdom treasure. Kingdom treasures come in moments of real friendship and hospitality, especially those moments when we reach across the boundaries and divisions that the world tries to set up between people and welcome one another in friendship that shows that those boundaries don't really mean a whole lot after all. Kingdom moments come in moments of worship, when it dawns on us with new intensity just how close Christ is to us. None of those things looks particularly impressive from the outside. A handshake or an embrace, a short little man running slowly with a silly, peaceful smile on his face, or people gathered up at an altar to share a little bit of bread and a sip of wine. They don't look all that impressive. And if we're not watching for them, they might slip by us. But those are the real treasures, the ones that last. Those are the treasures of the kingdom. And if you're looking for them, and if you're